Well, that was a fun Monday, wasn't it? The Brewers get 16 strikeouts, only allow 2 hits, and 0 runs against the defending world champs. We're going to talk about it next.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, happy Tuesday, everybody, and thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen of the day. My name is Dominic Catronio, bringing you your only daily podcast dedicated to your Milwaukee Brewers. I'm a statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin, and I tell you what, a 1-0 game like yesterday is a statistician's dream because there was a lot to look up in yesterday's game and had to do it quickly. A 2.5-hour tidy little Monday contest, that was a whole lot of fun, a lot of juice in the ballpark. 26,000 fans on a Monday, love that. Lower bowl was practically full. Great energy in the ballpark yesterday, but the most important stat from yesterday's game is this. The Brewers are 1-0 with the roof open this season. Summer is officially here. I know it's a little cooler today, but the fact that the roof's finally open, it feels like summer again. We had a great weekend. It's coming. I feel like we're there. I'm wearing flowers on my shirt. You know, we're getting there. Summer is almost officially here. In my opinion, it's unofficially here with the roof now open. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. If this is your first time listening, thanks for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers or myself at Dom_Catronio. It's in the show notes. There's a lot of directions we can go with this. Let's just start with the game recap, and then we're going to jump into some actual stats from this, overarching themes, and what we learned from the Brewers, and finally preview today's game. Same time, same place, 6:40 again coming up tonight. This game, you know, it's almost started out very, very differently for the Brewers, given the fact that there was a single, a walk against Freddie Peralta in that top of the first inning, and they showed this out on Bally Sports Wisconsin yesterday that Freddie struggles in the first inning. He's got a 15 ERA in the first inning this season. The rest of the game, it's a sub-4 ERA. So just get out of the first, and he's got smooth sailing. And he just managed to get out of the first thanks to a great play by Jace Peterson. A line drive by Travis d'Arnaud down the third baseline, and Peterson reacts quickly and accurately to his right, makes the great backhanded play. Do not forget about that play, as obviously we know the result of a 1-0 shutout, because that ball gets by, at least one run scores, it goes down into the corner. Tyrone Taylor is playing left yesterday. I don't know if 2 runs score with him getting out to that ball into the corner, but almost was a 1-0 lead for the Brewers, you know, 6 batters into the game. Instead, Jace makes the great play. And also, conversely, the Brewers almost got to Ian Anderson in the first inning. They loaded the bases with 2 outs, but Omar Narvaez ended up popping out to end the first inning. So no blood in the first. And then from there, you could tell Freddie was certainly locked in this game. So Freddie's final line, 7 innings, 2 hits, 0 runs, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. It's his 6th career 10 strikeout game and his first since last June against the Diamondbacks. You may recall that game. It was the game that Freddie carried a no-hitter into the 8th inning. So he was back to his dominant self yesterday. And it's a match made in heaven for Freddie, too, given the fact that he's facing a swing-and-miss-heavy team. More on that a little bit later in the show. But both teams' offenses really had a tough time figuring out the opposing starter. Ian Anderson, the changeup. Changeup has clearly been the kryptonite pitch for the Brewers all season long. They just had no answer for his changeup. He didn't rack up a ton of strikeouts, only 3 strikeouts, but the fact is he was getting the changeup swing and miss or weak pop-up or weak ground ball in fastball counts. The Brewers were badly fooled by that great changeup from Ian Anderson, but they still do saddle him with the loss. The one run without an RBI, it was a wild pitch, and in his final inning of work too. So Anderson was pitching in the 6th inning. The Brewers open up that frame with a fly out to left by Telez. He just missed that ball. Then Hunter Renfroe ambushes and gets a double down the left field line. The first and only extra base hit of this game. Narvaez is on second, one out. Renfroe's on second with 1 out. And Narvaez is the batter. He does his job. He pulls a ground ball over to the right side. I know what you're thinking. Well, no, his job is to get the run in. You're not wrong, but if you're not going to get the run in, you put the ball in play and you make sure it's on the right side to set the stage for exactly what happened. Look, kids, if you're listening, if you're in high school baseball right now and you're listening and you're like, man, why is my coach talking about fundamental baseball all the time? I just want to hit bombs, right? I understand that. And you get sucked into this, oh, baseball was better in my day world, and if, depending on your coach, things like that. This is a perfect example of situational hitting coming to fruition because there's two outs and you've got a man on third base. There has been absolutely no offense. It is clear at this point in the sixth inning, one run is going to win this game. Tyrone Taylor was the batter. He's working a good count, and all of a sudden, a wild pitch, it gets through Darnell, and it allows Renfroe to score. That was the only run of the game. That's all you needed. But all because Narvaez moved the runner over, got him to third base, put the ball in play, did not hit a pop-up, it did not strike out. When you hear your coach talk about get it on the ground, and if you're a lefty in that situation, you pull it. If you're a righty, you got to let that breaking ball travel and try to hit it the other way. Just do the best you can to get that runner to third base because you know you're going to be the second out because you've already been beaten this count. And the Brewers executed perfectly to go with their great pitching. This is where a wild anomaly occurred to me looking through stats in yesterday's game is the fact that last season, I didn't even know this, on the exact day of the year, I can't believe I missed this, but literally May 16th, 2021, Freddy Peralta started at home against the Atlanta Braves. And yesterday, of course, was May 16th, 2022. The lines were identical through six innings. Six innings, two hits, no runs, one walk, and eight strikeouts through six innings. Freddie threw a seventh inning and got 10 strikeouts, but that was just a weird oddity that I just loved way more than I should have. I love when things mirror like that. That was really, really cool. So Freddie does complete seven shutout strong innings, only allows two hits. He ends his day striking out two of the last three batters he faced. The Brewers actually retired the last 16 batters of the contest in this one too. Spencer Strider came in, and many thought he was going to be the starter in today's game. Turns out that's not the case, but Strider pitched well, kept this a 1-0 game, and kept them in it. Now let's talk about Devin Williams, and we're going to go into more depth in him in the last segment or in the next segment. Devin made it. It was very clear for Devin he didn't have the changeup yesterday. It was instantaneous in his first AB against Adam Duvall. He threw three straight changeups to Duvall. Only one of them was called for a strike. He was just missing it. It was flat. Then he got a couple of foul balls and said, you know what? Let's throw the gas. And he gets Duvall swinging on a fastball. All right, 95. Good stuff. Now you got Dansby Swanson. All right, Swanson comes up. He takes a first pitch changeup, a better one there from Williams. Then he misses with a fastball, goes back to the changeup, gets him the whiff, and thinking, well, maybe he's guessing. Goes back to the fastball and gets him swinging again. Wow. Okay, back-to-back outs on the fastball. Orlando Arcia, tough out, of course, the old friend, fouls off the first changeup. That's the vibe you're going to get against Arcia. He's going to fight pitches off. Then he takes the next two changeups. So kudos to Devin to recognizing, okay, this dude has seen it now. He's fouled one off. He's taken two. I don't have it today. Let's go back to the fastball. Gasses him up with a fastball on back-to-back pitches. Ends it with 97 miles an hour, mind you. 97 to close things out. There in the eighth inning. It was the first time in Devin Williams' career that he had three strikeouts on fastballs in the same game. First time ever. The airbender using the fastball to his advantage with guys guessing on his changeup. So that was a really cool moment for Devin. And then finally, Josh Hader slams the door in the ninth inning and had to do it in a tough fashion with the top of the order, Demerit, Olsen, and Riley. They made him work for it, but he strikes out the side. And don't forget, Olsen's got some, Hader's got some scar tissue with Olsen. Olsen hit a walk-off home run against him in Oakland back in 2019. So Hader wins this round. They strike out the side. The last nine outs in this game go like this. Strikeout, flyout, strikeout. That was the last nine batters of the game for the Braves. 16 total strikeouts for the Brewers. That ties the season high. That's the third time this year they've got 16 strikeouts in a game already. And it's the second straight game for the Braves that they have struck out 16 times as an offense. What a win. Brewers are now 23-13. The Braves fall to 16-20. No Ronald Acuña Jr. in this game yesterday. He is expected to maybe return today. That remains to be seen. Maybe you know by the time you're listening now. So we're going to jump into some of the advanced numbers with Freddy Peralta, some stuff I liked, some wild stuff. I tweeted some of this too. If you haven't already followed me, go ahead and do it. I'll tweet Brewer stats when I'm working these games. Before we jump into those, I want to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. They've got these awesome birthday cake puffs. It's a protein-infused marshmallow. Look, it's 150 calories and 16 grams of protein. It's like your birthday every single day, thanks to our friends at Built. It's just so unique, and it's a sweet treat that you'll actually enjoy eating because, like I said, who doesn't love birthday cake? You know, you get the little colors and sprinkles and everything in there. Built's birthday cake puffs are delicious, and they make every single bite absolutely perfect, like you're slicing into that old Betty Crocker. You know, it's great, great stuff. They're covered in 100% real chocolate too, and you can eat healthy and enjoy it. You can see their entire lineup, not just the puffs. They've got unique flavors for those, but they've also got the Built bars too at BuiltBuilt.com. The promo code is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at BuiltBuilt.com. Numbers, numbers, numbers. I'm a nerd. I love numbers. Let's talk about numbers. First and foremost, Freddy Peralta, sixth career 10 strikeout game. He's up to 500 strikeouts in his career. Congratulations to him. The Brewers also, this is my favorite number from all of this. The Freddy Peralta now over his last three starts against the Braves specifically. Okay, and this includes the postseason, mind you. 17 innings pitched, 23 strikeouts, just three walks, and zero runs allowed. 17 innings, 23 strikeouts, three walks, zero runs allowed. Tremendous. Incredible. This is all-star stuff again from Freddy Peralta. He's getting back on track. He is looking really great. The big thing I'm encouraged with Freddy, obviously when he gets out of the first inning, he's been great. But a trend that we're seeing this year is that he's not letting the walks get away from him. This is now the third start this year he has walked one or fewer batters. And in all three of those starts, he has worked at least into or beyond the sixth inning. So these three starts combined, his numbers go like this. 18 and two-thirds innings, nine hits, one run, it's earned, two walks, and also a total of 25 strikeouts over these 18 and two-thirds innings. Those starts against the Reds, the Pirates, and these Braves. Forgot who we were playing for a second there. Freddie, when he is on and he's not walking batters, that's when he's most effective. The strikeouts don't necessarily need to be there, but when he's not walking guys, you know he's not giving up hits. He just doesn't allow hits. The base runners against him are always walks. I mean, last year, if he qualified, if he had enough innings, he would have flirted with Pedro Martinez's batting average against all-time record. Last season, opponents hit 165 off of him in only 144 innings. I'm just double-checking what the record is here live right now for what Pedro Martinez, I believe it was in the year 2000 for him. The epic year he had. The answer is yes, it was in 2000. Opponents at 167 off Pedro in 2000. Again, Freddie last year, they hit 165 off of him. Granted, 60 fewer innings, different era anyway. Freddie has been doing great. He's kicked back into gear. Let's diving a little deeper into the stuff in this game too. Breaking balls for strikes. This was a huge, huge development for Freddie. We know he came up as Fastball Freddy, and they talked about it. BA and Rock yesterday talked about that first opening day start. It's still his career high with 13 strikeouts in that game. 12 of the 13 strikeouts against the Rockies in his debut were on fastballs. He came up as Fastball Freddy. He is no longer just Fastball Freddy anymore. He threw 29 of his breaking balls for strikes yesterday. 29, his career high is 35, which he set last year against St. Louis. Look, when you're landing almost a third of your pitches that are breaking balls, mind you, for strikes, he threw 102 pitches total. Almost a third of his pitches were strikes out of breaking balls. And that's not even just fastballs. He threw 67 strikes out of his 102 pitches. He was filling up the zone, just the one walk in the first inning, and then he was lights out, 10 strikeouts. Four of those strikeouts were looking, and they were fair strikes. It was a very good zone tonight, by the way, for Mark Ripperger behind the plate. We can talk about the controversial no double play that happened later in the game, talk about replay rules. But it was clear from the start, one run was going to win this game. The Brewers got the one run across. So Brewers get the one run. They win 1-0. For the second time this year, they've won a game 1-0. And an anomaly in this is kind of in the minutiae, as Mike Vassallo put it. It's a little in the weeds, even for my taste, but I just had a chuckle about it. It's the fifth time ever in Brewers history that they've won a game 1-0 without an RBI because the run scored on a wild pitch. And it hasn't happened in 32 years. Last happened in August of 1990. So I thought that was a fun number. Let's talk about swings and misses for Freddy Peralta, too. Freddy Peralta had 16 swings and misses in this game. And the symmetry comes back. Remember how we mentioned the line scores were identical from this exact year ago against the Braves? His career high in whiffs in a game is 21. Also, in that May 16th start in 2021 against the Braves. So he came five shy of his all-time high for swings and misses in a game. And it leads me to my next point about the Braves and this match made in heaven for Freddy Peralta. Coming into the game yesterday, the Braves had the highest swing and miss rate in all of baseball. 30% of their swings have been whiffs. They are swinging and missing practically one every three swings. That's terrible. The Brewers are right around league average. They're at 26.7%. League average is one percentage lower than that at 25.8%. So the fact that the Braves are a full 5 points higher than league average in swings and misses and facing a guy with swing and miss stuff, it's no surprise that Freddy Peralta has such dominant numbers against the Braves over the last couple of years. And Freddy exploited them. They could not have an answer for his fastball. And it all goes back to, because he's throwing his fastball for a strike, it's got the late life on it, that when you complement that with breaking balls for strikes, he's unstoppable. Absolutely unstoppable. Freddy Peralta, absolutely dominant. Lest we forget that Josh Hader just collected his 14th save of the year in 14 games, extending that big league record right now, too. It's the best pitching staff in baseball. They struck out 8 of the last 9 batters of the game. The bullpen struck out all 6 batters that they faced. They're rolling. They're back on track. Things are looking up. Braves will try to get game 2. Tomorrow, it is unclear. I'm trying to do some live research right now here on the show to see if the Braves have announced a starter. At the time that I was leaving the ballpark, they had not, because, again, it was probably going to be a Strider. And the news is Tucker Davidson will be getting the start tomorrow for the Braves. Tucker Davidson made his debut back in 2020. He's a Midland Texan native. He is 26 years old. He will be called up from the minor leagues. He has made one spot relief appearance this year for Atlanta. He allowed 5 earned runs in that game, pitching for 3 innings. That was against the Washington Nationals back in the first week of the season. But this year in AAA Gwinnett, Tucker Davidson has pitched in 5 games. They've all been starts. He's got a 4.44 ERA and a 1-1 record in AAA. This will be his first start this year in the big leagues and his 6th overall in the big leagues for Tucker Davidson here later tonight. Let's start looking ahead to tomorrow and look around the league here briefly as we get ready to wrap up this episode. Before we do that, I want to remind you about our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models for your vehicle, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts your car could need. So you can endure pointless or seemingly intimidating sometimes questioning when you're talking to the folks behind the counter. Hey, is it an LX? Is it a Sport Edition? What is it? Like, they're making you feel little and you're making you feel small and you're going to pay more. Why go through all that when you can just find all the parts you want on your computer, on your phone, at home with Rock Auto? You can save time and money. You can spend 30%, 50%, even 100% markup on the same parts from a chain store versus what you're getting at Rock Auto. Their prices are reliably low for every single customer. They have everything you could ever, ever possibly need. You can use their easy-to-use website to find a solution for your auto part needs. And when you go to rockauto.com, make sure you write Locked On and How Did You Hear About Us box, so that way they know that Locked On sent you. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So tonight, the Brewers will be facing Tucker Davidson, a minor league call-up, as they will be handing the ball to Adrian Houser, who is 3-3, a 3.86 ERA. He's going to try to rebound after his tough go of things in Cincinnati. Again, a 6:40 first pitch later on this evening. And looking around the league right now for the NL Central, the Mets and Cardinals were postponed in Queens, so the Cardinals, they're still four games above 500, but they're still four games back of the Brew Crew at this current moment. Elsewhere, the Cubs had the day off. They were in Arizona over the weekend. They won 9-0 down at Wrigley. They beat the Pirates in that fashion. It is the Reds with the off day, if I'm not mistaken, and I am not mistaken. That is indeed the case. So not much change in the standings. Of course, Brewers still in first, but the standings don't matter here in May. Let's talk about that controversial replay here, shall we? I want to break it down real quick to explain why it's not reviewable and why it's a joke that it's not reviewable. So in the seventh inning, Jace Peterson manages a single against Spencer Strider. Then a strikeout, so there's one out, Jace is on first, and Colton Wong hits a little duck fart. That is the actual term, just saying. A little duck fart over to second base. Didn't hit it hard, but it looks like it's hanging in the air high enough for Albies to make the catch. Wong didn't exactly bust it out of the box, but he was still jogging up the line. Albies decided to gamble, let the ball drop, and try to turn two, seeing that Wong wasn't running hard, and Jace had to hold up at first base. However, he caught the ball. It literally bounced in his glove. Not saying bounced off the dirt. His glove was on the dirt. The ball hits the glove and bounces into the palm. So imagine it bouncing in the fingers and in the webbing of the glove. But because it's actually resting on the ground, it looked like it bounced. And then it goes into the pocket. So the second base umpire decided to call that as a safe and that it's a ball in play. It's a ground ball. The second base umpire was Alex Tazi. And they turn two. Craig Counsell immediately races out of the dugout as they start the conference, and they maintain the call on the field. How the heck is this not reviewable? The reason is that anything on the infield, fair or foul, trap or no trap, is not reviewable on the infield. How is that not reviewable on the infield, a trapped ball, but it is reviewable in the outfield? What's the difference? How is a trap ball not reviewable on the infield? I can understand fair or foul, up the lines, given it's such a hard call to make. There's never a perfect angle for that. And we saw this pop up last year in the playoffs against these Braves. Remember the miracle catch by Wicho on the deflection by Omar Narvaez and foul ground in Atlanta? Well, as it turned out, it was almost the reverse of that play, meaning Wicho didn't catch the ball, but they ruled it an out, and because it was on the infield in front of the base paths, they could not review it. So the Brewers got away with one there, so the karma brings it back for them to have the Braves get away with one here in yesterday's game. But I tweeted it. I still believe baseball replay is broken. This is a simple one or the other call, right? This affects so much of this game. If it's a yes or no question, fair or foul is a little tough, especially bouncing over the bags. I get that. Normally that's a yes or no question, but this is catch or no catch. It is 100% clear to tell on a play like that. You should be able to review catch or no catch, no matter where it happens on the baseball field. Okay? Rant over. Other stuff from this game. The Brewers did only have 5 hits in the game, but they did not commit an error. They had timely enough. Let's talk about Luis Urias. His role is going to elevate now. Willie Adames is day-to-day. He is getting testing done on his injured left ankle that he rolled on Sunday in Miami. Wicho goes 2-for-3 with a walk. He reached base 3 times in this game. It is already the 3rd time this year. This was only his 12th game back. It's already the 3rd time this year that Wicho has reached base 3 times in a game. And that's already tied for the 4th most on the team. Can you guess who leads the team in reaching base three times in a game? Time's up. The answer is Christian Yelich. He's done it eight times. Next closest is Colton Wong. He has reached base in three times in five games. Keep an eye on Weecho. He's your everyday shortstop until Willie comes back. And Jace Peterson's going to be your everyday third baseman probably, unless they're facing a left-handed pitcher like they will tomorrow against Max Fried. Then you'll probably see Mike Brasso over there at third base. So Brewers get a nitty-gritty win. 1-0, their second 1-0 win of the season, and they're back today at 6:40. Adrian Hauser and Tucker Davidson going for game two of this series as the Brewers will try to win back-to-back series after coming home from Miami with the win and now try to win at home against the Braves. And, oh, by the way, the Brewers have now won six of their last seven at home, going back to the last homestand. Good home cooking here in Milwaukee. It's great to have the roof open, and it should be a fun week of baseball against the Braves. Again, if you haven't already, hit subscribe, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube as well. I know I promised an In the Hopper episode. I was a little busy this weekend if you didn't catch on, but that should be coming out later this week. Again, I'm Dominic Catronio. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next time. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.